Well, good morning, folks. It's really a special privilege to be here with you at Church in the Marketplace as we gather around God's Word together. And if you're joining us online, then we pray for the blessing of God's close presence with you in your place and in your circumstances. Last week, we were talking about how God values us, what we're worth to God, how much God loves us and cares about us. Today I want to shift the focus and turn the direction around, if you like, and look at our mercy towards other people. How do we allow the mercy that we have received to flow out to people who are around us? So as we prepare to do that, let's pray. Lord, you call us to be merciful. You call us to model our mercy on that mercy you have first shown to us. Lord, sometimes we don't find that so easy. So we pray as we think about how you call us to be merciful, that you would nurture us, you would encourage us, you would challenge us, so that just as you have first given mercy to us, we might be people who can give mercy to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Beatitudes give us some of the most significant things that Jesus said, and here's one of them. It's what we want to talk about today. Matthew 5, verse 7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." In other words, if we want to receive mercy, we have to show mercy to other people. So what's mercy? Here's one definition. Mercy is love in action. And if mercy is that, love in action, then we immediately know some things that mercy is not. Mercy isn't just talk. Mercy isn't emotions. It's not just feelings. It's certainly a whole lot more than pity. Mercy is showing compassion to other people. Now compassion is an interesting concept. When we talk about people, we use the word compassionate as a descriptive word, as an adjective to talk about a compassionate man or a compassionate woman. But originally the word compassionate wasn't an adjective. It was a verb. And it wasn't even pronounced compassionate. It was pronounced compassionate. To compassionate towards someone was the way that the word was used. And the meaning of compassionate was to enter into somebody else's pain. It's to enter into their suffering. But not just for the purpose of feeling sorry for them. It's entering into somebody's pain to relieve them from that pain and to lift them out of pain. Let me give you an example. It's the difference between pity and compassion. Pity would say something like, "Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? He lost his job 3 months ago. Poor guy." That's pity. Compassion would say, "Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? He lost his job 3 months ago. Poor guy, I wonder what he needs. Let's go find out how we can help him." Pity would say, "Did you hear about the woman down the street, the single mum who's been in hospital for 3 weeks? Poor girl, she never gets a break." That's pity. Compassion would say, "Did you hear about the single mum who's been in hospital for the last 3 weeks? She just never gets a break. Poor girl. We need to go and find out how we can help her. What does she need right now? Maybe we can help take care of her kids. Does her family need food? What can we do to relieve, to lift her out of her pain?" That's the difference between pity and compassion. Mercy is compassionate. Mercy is love in action. Mercy isn't afraid to get its hands dirty and to step into the brokenness of other people's lives. That's what Jesus did when he became human. He stepped into our condition. He stepped into our humanity. He stepped into our brokenness in order to lift us out of that condition that we were in. And now Jesus says to us, "Blessed are the merciful, the ones who show compassion, the ones who care and help others out." Blessed are the merciful. They're the ones who will receive mercy. If we refuse to show mercy, if we refuse to be kind, if we refuse to show compassion to other people, then somehow we're cutting ourselves off from the flow of God's compassion towards us. So what does mercy look like? Jesus gives us a very clear picture of it. It's in the time when he healed the leper. And if you've got a Bible and you want to follow it, it's in Mark chapter 1, starting at about verse 40. So let's look at this story and see what we can learn about compassion and mercy. It says, a man with leprosy came to Jesus, begged him on his knees, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter into a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Let's talk about leprosy for a bit, because leprosy isn't very common in our day. But in Jesus' day, leprosy was widespread, and in Jesus' day, there was no cure for it like there is now. In Jesus' day, leprosy was a terminal disease. First, it killed the soul, and then it killed the body. It killed the soul because a leper was an outcast. A leper couldn't be touched by anybody, or they would be considered unclean. Leprosy was considered an outward sign of an inward failure. A person who had leprosy was deemed by other people to have been judged by God. When they saw someone, a leprous man, a leprous woman, the assumption was that that person did something to bring it on themselves. They'd done something to deserve leprosy. So leprosy wasn't just an outward problem, it was an inward problem. And in the Old Testament book of Leviticus, when the law was given, that book tells us that lepers were not sent to doctors, they were sent to priests. And they were not called unhealthy, they were called unclean, which sounds more like a verdict than a diagnosis. Here's what the Bible says about how lepers were to act. It's in Leviticus 13. The leper must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." So this man who comes to Jesus, this is what he's living under. That in order to protect the community from himself, he has to wear a mask over the lower part of his face, and he has to spend the rest of his life drawing attention to himself, shouting, "Unclean, unclean." In other words, look at me, I'm a failure. There's something wrong with me. Everybody stay away from me. That's what this man has to do according to the law. Unclean is his confession that there's something morally broken in this man's life. So you can imagine the humiliation. You can imagine the torment physically, because leprosy eats away at the flesh and at the nervous system. It's a horribly disfiguring disease. You can imagine the kind of confusion he must be in. What did I do to deserve this? Why is this happening to me? Lepers could be whipped or stoned for coming into a public place. They weren't allowed to enter a town openly. They had to live alone. They couldn't even live with their own families. Leviticus 13:46 says, as long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp. So a leper was a walking dead man or woman. Leprosy was a living death sentence, a complete banishment from the presence of God's people, banished from his friends, banished even from worship. He wasn't allowed to go into places of worship. So what that meant to him was that his worship was unacceptable to God. The only one who could possibly help him, God himself, has now rejected him because he's not allowed to come into the place of worship. That's the condition this man is in. But he comes to Jesus in a public space. When we read this story in Mark, Mark tells us that there's a huge crowd following Jesus that day. So you can imagine as this guy comes into the crowd yelling, "Unclean, unclean." Everybody's parting out of the way because nobody wants to be touched by this guy. And he comes straight up to Jesus in the middle of this crowd, and here's what he says. it was in Mark 1:40, he falls on his knees and he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. If you're willing, you can make me clean. If you're willing, you can help me. If you're willing, you can change my life. Notice he doesn't say, if you're able. He knew Jesus was able. How many people today are afraid to come into the church? They're told they don't belong with God's people, that they believe Jesus could do something, but the question in their mind is he willing? This man says to Jesus, if you're willing, I know you can help me. My question to you, Jesus, is what are you willing to do? Or are you just willing to let me leave the way I am? Folks, there are people around us, just like a leper, who are relegated to the outskirts of society. They're the people who are untouchable, the people who just don't quite measure up to the standard that we all expect. And just like the leper, they're saying to us, are you willing? If you're willing, you can restore my dignity. If you're willing, you can help me find my life again. If you're willing, you can bring some peace into my life. If you're willing, you can relieve my hunger. If you're willing, you can relieve my loneliness. If you're willing, you can show me love and compassion and hope and mercy. If you're willing, you can show me what Jesus is like. Are you willing? It's the question I'm asking us today. It's the question I have to ask myself. Am I willing? Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Verse 41 says, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Jesus did the unthinkable. He touched a leper. And when he touched the leper, only one of two things could happen. Either the man's going to be healed or Jesus will become unclean. Because according to the law, when you touched a leper, you also became unclean. And of course, the man was healed. But it makes me wonder how long it had been since anybody had touched him. How long it had been since anybody had even looked him in the eye. How long it had been since anyone gave him a hug or patted him on the back or wiped away his tears. How long it had been since anyone said something kind to him. Mostly what he heard were curses from people telling him to get out of the way, or silence when people would turn and walk away from him. The only friends this man would have were people in the same hopeless condition that he was in. Verse 41, filled with compassion. In other words, entering into his pain, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. He didn't just talk to him. He didn't say, poor guy. He did something about it. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Jesus touched him before he spoke to him. See, it's not good enough for us to just preach to people. We have to reach out and touch them first. We have to show them the love of Jesus before we start talking about the love of Jesus. Because they've heard about the love of Jesus, they just haven't seen it yet. And Jesus touched this man first before he said a word to him. Someone said, people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. Folks, truly, sometimes, it's like the body of Christ has lost its hands and its feet and all that's left is a big mouth. People don't want to hear it. They want to see it. They want to know that it's true. Are you willing? Are you willing to reach out and touch me? What greater sign of compassion could Jesus have shown a leper than to touch this man, to do the unthinkable, to reach into this man's pain, into his condition, and join him in his suffering, and to touch him, to put himself at risk, to risk his own body, to risk his own reputation by touching an unclean person? That's a good colour. Kay Warren, in her book, Say Yes to God, says, compassion is about making a decision. It's not an emotion. Expressing compassion is a deliberate choice to embrace pain that is not your own. We are most like Christ when we choose to offer the gift of our presence and choose to absorb within ourselves the suffering of the least, the last, and the lost. Are you looking for Jesus? That's where you'll find him. Jesus touched the man, and then he spoke to the man and said, "I am willing, be clean." And the man could see that Jesus was willing. He wasn't just hearing, "I am willing." And years of sickness were healed in an instant. Years of loneliness were loved away at a single touch. And this ruin of a man was instantly restored in his body and in his soul. This broken, helpless, hopeless, desperate man could finally go home to his family. There's a couple of ironies in this story that I want to look at. The first one's quite significant. It's in verse 44. We heard it. Jesus said to the leper, "Go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." We could easily skip over that bit because the really exciting part has already taken place. The guy is healed. But why does Jesus go to the priest and offer the sacrifices? What sacrifice? What's that? It's also in the book of Leviticus. Chapter 13 says this is how a leper is supposed to live. Chapter 14 says when he gets healed, here's what he's supposed to do. Leviticus 14 says the priest is to slaughter the lamb that this leper has brought. The priest is to slaughter the lamb in the holy place where the sin offering and the burnt offering are slaughtered. The priest is to take some of the blood of the guilt offering and put it on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, the leper, on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. So what? What's that all about? The blood and the lobe and the toe. Why? Who cares? Why is that important? But there's something going on. Leviticus 14 tells us the regulation for the cleansing of a leper. Earlier in Leviticus chapter 8, it tells us the regulation for the ordaining of a priest. Here's what it says. Moses slaughtered the ram and took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. Moses also brought Aaron's sons forward. They're being ordained into the priesthood. And put some of the blood on the lobes of their right ears, on the thumbs of their right hands and on the big toes of their right feet. Maybe we should do that when we ordain ministers. What do you reckon? But here's the point. The blood that cleanses the priest is the blood that cleanses the leper. The sacrifice that makes the priest, the holy man, acceptable to God is the sacrifice that makes the leper acceptable to God. What it means is that there's nobody so unclean as to be beyond cleansing. And there's nobody so righteous and so holy in their own mind as to be above cleansing. Whether you're a priest or a leper, it's the same sacrifice for all of us. So what's the challenge to us in this story? What's the challenge to me? Because I have to think, who are the untouchables in my world, and am I willing to reach out and to show them the love of Jesus? Because Jesus is still willing. Jesus still touches and cleanses broken people, but he does it through us. He does it through his church. That's why we're called the body of Christ. That's what it means to be a follower of Christ. We carry the presence of Jesus into other people's pain and suffering in order to lift them out of it. Jesus still touches the world, but now he touches the world through us. So who are the lepers today? Who are the ones who are physically distressed because of sinful choices that they've made? Who are the people that society declares to be unclean and unworthy? Street people, the hungry, the destitute, the drunks, the derelicts, the drug addicts, the refugees, the poor. Who are the people who have to live outside the camp? In the back alleys, the outskirts, and who bear in their bodies the signs of an inward failure and a bad decision or a failed moral life? And they bear the markings of what's happened to them, and in many cases they don't know why it's happened to them, but they're destitute, and we look at them kind of askance and go, I wonder what's going on in that person's life to cause that to happen. And they won't come to church because they think they're not welcome here. They think they don't belong here. They think they're not worthy. Did you know there are churches in England over 1,000 years old now and they have a leper's squint? It's a leper's window. Because when the church was built, leprosy was still common and lepers couldn't go in. But they could stand outside. They could look through this squint of a window, it was called, through a window, and they could hear the sounds of what was going on, but they couldn't go into the building. Makes me wonder, who are the people who are afraid to come into our building? Because they think they don't belong. So they're just kind of looking for a sign. They squint from the outside. They're curious about what's going on. Maybe they've heard the muffled strains of our worship songs. But they dare not come in because they think they don't belong here. And they won't come in on their own. So we have to go out and get them. That's what Jesus told us to do. To bring them into the family of God, to reach out and touch them, to enter into their suffering and lift them out of it, and to bring them to wholeness and bring them to purpose and to bring them to the love of God. Jesus touched the man before he spoke to him. Jesus compassionated and entered into that man's pain. And the lepers today are asking the same question. Are you willing? Are you willing to help me? Are you willing to leave, or are you willing to leave me the way that I am? So I have a question. What are we willing to do? What am I willing to do? And I have to confess to you, I failed in this area of my life, and I can't just preach a story and then walk away as though nothing's going to change in my life or change in your life. Something has to change in us. Something has to be different in us. We can't come to the Word of God and then walk away from it unchanged. If God is speaking to us and telling us to do something, if we don't do it, how can we expect Him to tell us anything else if we haven't done what He's already told us to do? Folks, something's got to change in us. I don't know what it's going to look like, but something's got to change. I'm still wrestling with this, but there are people all around us who are in pain and we've spent our life ignoring them. Maybe throw a couple of coins in their direction and then walk away so we don't really have to engage. Poor guy. And walk away but not do anything about it. People suffering, people hurting, in need of the love of Jesus. And in their eyes and in their voices are the eyes and voice of the leper. Are you willing? No, that's often been my answer, our answer. I mean, often I'm not even aware that that was my answer, but no, I haven't been willing. And how can I be Jesus if I'm not willing? The hands and feet have been cut off, and all that's left for me is a big mouth. We've got to change something. I don't know what it's going to look like, but something's got to happen. There's another irony in the story. Remember, according to the law, the leper had to live outside the camp. He wasn't allowed to come in where the people were. He had to live in the lonely places. But verse 45 says the leper went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. I think that's kind of funny, really. Ironic. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. So here's the point. As we engage, as we minister to the lepers in our world, they're going to go out and tell people about it. And as they draw closer to us, don't be surprised if other people begin to steer clear, if other people begin to withdraw from us. There's a price, there's a cost to mercy. Could cost us our comfort, could cost us our reputation. People might disagree with what we're doing and who we're doing it for. Compassion touches people before it talks to them. Compassion reaches out with the love of Jesus. Doesn't matter who they are, doesn't matter how they live, compassion reaches out with the love of Jesus to help people who are hurting and who have needs. Jesus doesn't wait for us to clean up our lives before he helps us. He just helps. Change and all of that takes place afterwards. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. Jesus just reaches out and touches people. Folks, there are consequences either way. If we act in compassion, there are consequences. There's a price to pay. If we refuse to act in compassion, there is a price to pay, because it's the merciful who receive mercy. If we want to receive mercy, we have to show mercy. And often mercy is the key to answered prayer. Friends, where do you need mercy in your life right now? There was a time in the Old Testament when God's people were praying for their nation. They were fasting and praying for God's hand of blessing to be on their nation, and nothing was happening. Things were only getting worse. They were confused by it. They were wondering, why isn't God answering our prayer? So God answered them by speaking through the prophet Isaiah. Here's what he said. Is this the kind of fast I've chosen? Only a day for man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in the sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. Then you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and they will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. How could things be changed? When we loose the chains of injustice, when we bring freedom to the oppressed, the people who've been kicked to the curb and neglected and disenfranchised. When we bring care to homeless people and food to hungry people, when we fill up our food pantry so much that it overflows and bursts its seams because there's so much food coming in, when we take care of the aged and the invalid, when we take care of the orphan, when we reach out to the refugee, regardless of our politics. Politics has nothing to do with it when mercy comes into play. The church is called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Let the politicians figure out the rest of it. But reaching out to people who need help, and they need it in the name of Jesus, and they need mercy, that's our job. Not just in the name of ourselves, not just because we're nice people, but we go in the name of Jesus. We show love in the name of Jesus. And Jesus says, if you'll do that, God says through his prophet Isaiah, if you will do that, then I will bless your nation, then I will bless you as a people. In other words, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Folks, the way we serve God is by the way we serve other people. That's the only way we can serve him, to do the things that Jesus asks us to do. So I want to challenge us this morning. Think of something you can do. Think of something we can do. I suggest we take Jesus at his word. Take him up on his challenge. Blessed are the merciful. They'll receive mercy. I'm willing to give it a try. Are you? Show us what you've got, Lord. We could use some mercy today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you've given us your word, that when we are merciful, we begin to receive mercy. Lord Jesus, thank you that you've come and you've shown us what it looks like to be merciful. To not just say things, but to do things. To get our hands dirty, to reach out and touch people, to take risks. And so, Lord, today we ask you. You said you came to seek and save the lost. Lord, would you seek and save them through us? Do it through us, Lord. Lord, would you look through our eyes and tell us what you see? Would you listen through our ears and tell us what you're hearing? Would you touch people with our hands? Would you speak to people through our lips? Would you love people through our lives? Lord, would you use us to bless the world with your mercy? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.